All right. What is up, good citizens of Crip Nation? It is your hosts, as always, Bryson Pizzamind, reporting live, not so live, from San Diego, California. How's everybody doing today?
I feel like I'm more here for the rogue and ridiculous members of Crip Nation. You can be here for the good ones, as you are a good, wholesome individual. But I, on the other hand, am here to promote things that are going to give you heart disease and short life, but high quality while you're here.
Oh, my lordy. I don't know if I want Crip Nation being exposed to that kind of behavior.
Too bad. In any case, we are here with episode 17 of the Weekly Fire.
Indeed.
And this week absolutely was on fire, and many people's portfolios have burned to the ground.
Yes.
We're going to get into that right about now with the horrid crypto weather report.
Yes, indeed. But before we get to that, the Crypto 2020 Summit is happening. This is huge. This is going to be the biggest conference of the year. It's all online. It's free to sign up. And yours truly, Bryson Pizzamind, are going to be the hosts of this conference. There's going to be, we say on the site that there's 50 speakers, but there's already well over 60 speakers that are signed up to give presentations and breakdowns on their projects and their projections for trends going throughout 2020. So if you guys don't want to miss out on some of the most cutting edge and extreme predictions, then you should go sign up, because if you're not there, you're going to be square, and nobody likes a square.
I can't stand squares. No, crypto2020summit.com. It's free to sign up. It is going to be the biggest event of the year because it's online.
Nobody has to fly in, right? And the speakers don't need to fly in. They're recording their presentations virtually. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be chat rooms in there so you can meet all sorts of different like-minded people. It's a really, really, really popular trend in other industries, and it just hasn't happened in crypto. And so we are super excited to bring this to you guys. And if you guys have any questions about it, feel free to ping us on email or on Twitter. We are there. Go to our site. Just go to crypto2020summit.com, and we hope to see you guys there.
And one of the reasons we're doing this is, as we were traveling around, we noticed that the crowds are substantially dwindling from the size that they have been in the past couple years. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that these conferences are so expensive and it's hard to get tickets, and people just don't have that kind of time or money to be flying all over the world to listen to a couple of people speak. So we really wanted to give everyone a chance. We're all about inclusion here at Crypto 101. So this is our way of trying to give everyone a chance to be included. So all the speakers that are speaking, they're doing it for free because they care about the users. They want to grow the industry. Everyone who's attending gets to attend for free. That way you don't miss out. This is pretty much a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but if it goes well, we might just do this every year.
Yeah, let's call it a once-a-year event.
Once a year.
Because we already bought all the domains. Anyhow, guys, it has been a dark and stormy and fiery week here in the crypto markets. If anybody has been paying attention, we just 2 weeks ago, skyrocketed about 45% overnight on Bitcoin. And since those 2 weeks, we've retraced all the way back down, actually more than where we started. So there's definitely some technical damage to the charts. And to be honest, I wasn't actually expecting this. I thought that we were going to go back and hit 8K and stay there, but we've actually started to break below 8K and stay below 8K. So, I mean, we scraped even down into the high sevens. I think the lowest it hit was 6,700. And it looks like those buyers are being, held up, essentially. So I don't know. We'll see. But I think that it's always good to bear in mind here the contrarian point of view, right? Everybody's portfolio is down. Everybody's panicking. Everybody's saying, oh, my God, is crypto going to be around next year? Do I really believe in Bitcoin? There's all this, disbelief and, anger and anguish and capitulation. Oh, my God, I have rent due next week. I need to sell at least some Bitcoin just so I make sure that I cover it. All this stuff. I think you should be buying the blood. And I feel like it's just been a bloody, bloody week. Some altcoins have been holding strong. I mean, we saw Tezos and Neo have some really good runs recently. So I'm kind of shifting my portfolio into some more altcoins, like I've been doing for the last, I've been doing it for the last 3 weeks. Still have a little bit of XRP, ZRX, but you know, these are just things that I think are fundamentally, you know, stronger coins. Just my educational opinion here, definitely not any financial advice of where you should be putting your money. But regardless, I think that, you know, it's just going to take us a long time, it feels like, to break back out above 14K. So guys, don't bet more than you could afford to lose, and certainly, don't be, you know, taking out credit cards to buy crypto at these low prices. It's just not a smart move. So I don't know, Pete, what are you kind of feeling in the market these days?
As you mentioned, there are some altcoins that are still doing really well. If you look at the one-day chart on MCO, you're going to see what looks like to be a breakout winner right now. That's looking really attractive. All the news is still very bullish, and we're going to get into that a little bit later towards the end of this episode.
And you actually just interviewed Chris Marslick, who's the CEO of Crypto.com, whose coin is MCO, correct?
That's correct. So we had the chance of meeting in Singapore last week, and I sat down with him, asked him a bunch of stuff, and we had this pre-prepared outline, and I asked him if he'd seen it, and he says, no, in fact, I don't want to see it. I just want to have a free-flowing conversation where you throw literally whatever you want at me. That way my answers are more organic.
Really?
So I did, and in fact, I didn't even read hardly anything off the script, and we just had a really interesting conversation. That just shows how much this guy knows his stuff. It was really, really good. I mean, he's a shark, man. He's a killer.
Love it.
And Crypto.com, I've never been more bullish on it.
Love it.
This guy, he's not just building a winning product, but a winning ecosystem. He's really got a great vision for the future. So definitely check out MCO. That might be able to help recoup some of these losses that we've been having. Meanwhile, Zcash continues to plummet into oblivion, under $30 now, yet somehow is still ranked, you know, number 31 overall.
Yeah, I gotta
bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts, Zuko. I want to bring Zuko actually on the show because they're actually doing a lot of new cool things with the Electric Coin Company, who are the developers of Zcash. And they have a lot of new proposals coming out for how their inflation schedule will get changed and where developer funds will be getting. So actually, I'm going to make a note to bring the Zcash boys on the show. But I was going to say, oh yeah, I got an eToro alert today. Zcash hits new all-time lows. And I just woke up and I was like, oh man, I'm so glad I don't hold any Zcash. Poor guys. But anyhow, let's get into you know, how we always like to kick things off here with hot or not.
Hot or not.
Pete, who are the big winners?
The big winners are people who are holding stable coins.
Yeah.
It's funny. I subscribe to a newsletter called Chasing Coins, and they always will give me like the top winners and losers of the day. And yesterday, some of the top winners were even in negatives.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like, you only lost 10%. Like, congratulations.
Yeah, it was so bad. Anyway, the winners this week, again, completely obscure things that I've never even heard of. We're really going to have to adjust our metrics on here because we're just being invaded by shit coins that should not get through.
I think that we should do just only top 200. So I think
some of these coins are even invading there because all the other top projects, like their market caps, are so low right now.
Yeah, it's true.
But even still, I think top 200 going forward. In any case, we have Acropolis, whatever the fuck that is.
It was on the biggest gainers last week.
They gained another 100% this week, so bless their pumpers. After that, we have Bolt, which is up 59%, and EDC Blockchain, up 53%.
And no, that is not Electric Daisy Carnival, your favorite music festival. That is something else, which I still don't know. But I have heard a lot of good things about Bolt, actually. So that is one that's definitely warranting a little bit more inspection. Because there could be actually some good, legitimate fundamentals behind that one.
Well, if you're listening out there, Crypt Nation, and you know anything about Acropolis, Bolt, or EDC Blockchain, send us a DM, shill us, tell us what's up with these things, and tell us if they're worth actually watching.
Or just tag us on Twitter. Anyhow, biggest losers, and I love that this is the biggest loser this week. We have a coin called ETHplode. I don't know what that is, but it's literally called ETHPLOD, and the ticker is ETHPLO.
Sounds deflationary.
So, yeah, it sounds like maybe it's supposed to be like some type of inverse contract, but if it was an inverse contract, it would be pumping because ETH was dumping. Anyhow, for better or for worse, this puppy traded $68 million this week.
Oh, my God.
And it's down 33.7% on that volume. So that is not a good look.
The whale has liquidated.
And then we have CoinHay token, CHT.
Not to be confused with Counting House token.
Right.
Which also is CHT.
Right. Which is legit. So CoinHay token traded $2.6 million, and it's down 31%. And then we have MX token. And this is the MXC exchange token, kind of like how BNB is Binance's token and KCS is KuCoins and HT is Huobi's. Now we have MX token down 29% in the last 7 days.
Ouch.
And that's on $12.6 million of volume. So for better or for worse, that exchange token is down. And guys, that's it for Hot or Not.
Do you have a friend who's interested in getting into cryptocurrency, but they don't know where to start building their portfolio? Well, we have the answer. It's called CopyTrader by eToro. With CopyTrader, you can automatically copy every trade of eToro's top crypto traders, just like myself or Bryce or Kevin, at the exact price point and in real time. No need to study up on markets or develop your own strategies. Simply just sign up and copy our trades. Any profits that we make, you do too, proportional to your investment, of course. With eToro, you get access to the world's most popular cryptocurrencies with transparent trading fees all in one easy-to-use app. Copy the smart money with eToro. Join now at eToro.com/crypto101.
Let's move on to Fire Tweets.
Per usual, our Fire Tweet is from @RhythmTrader. And this week he
this
says...
This guy's an animal.
He is an animal for tweeting. Wonder what he does during the day besides it.
He has a great newsletter that I just subscribed to that hits. I mean, he's got to have a team. Like, this has got to be an entire organization because the kind of research and newsletter stuff that he puts out is just unbelievable.
Wow. Anyway, he says, negative interest rates have now hit the average saver. The first German bank will collect a depository charge of negative 0.5% on savings accounts with deposits of €1 and above. Yet Bitcoin is the experiment here?
So, I mean, people don't realize that when they're giving their money to the bank, they're actually lending it to them. And they should be receiving interest on that because they're lending them their money, right? I go deposit $100 and then they're taking that $100 and lending it out, the money that I just lent them. So historically speaking, this is literally the first time that this has ever happened where a commercial, or I should say a retail bank, is now saying, okay, you give us $100 and we're going to charge you to hold your money. We're going to charge you not even a maintenance fee or anything like that, but an actual negative interest rate. So if you go, I'm not sure what German bank this is.
It's not going to be around for a while with a business plan of the longer you leave your money here, the more of it we're going to take.
Couldn't have said it better. I mean, that's a terrible, terrible business plan. So for better or for worse, negative interest rates are now here. They're hitting the average saver. And cryptocurrency is the only solution to that. I just don't know what else to say.
I mean, let's think of some analogies of how dumb this is. This is like if you're a guy trying to go out and get laid and you just go to a club with no pants on.
Oh, my God.
Thinking this is a good idea.
That's pretty dumb.
That's really dumb. This is like if you're hungry and instead of going to the grocery store, you start going through your neighbor's garbage because you think it's less time to travel.
Well, if you guys could think up of any crazy analogies.
Negative interest rates be like. That's your hashtag on Twitter. Negative interest rates be like.
I like
Go
that.
Go crazy.
Let's do it. Let's fucking rock. All right. So, you know, actually, I got an analogy. Negative interest rates are like spending $300,000 on wire transfer fees.
Oh my God.
And that's a perfect segue to our Scorched Earth segment today. Pizza Mind, take it away.
So, me and a buddy are making an investment in a company, getting actual equity. And he banks with Chase, good old Chase Manhattan.
Good old JPM.
Yeah. Good old JP Morgan Chase. And he had to send seven figures across the world for this equity investment. And it had to be perfect. Couldn't be done in U.S. dollars. It had to be in euros. So not only did the money have to get sent, it had to be converted. So for this $2 million transaction, Chase racked up $300,000 in fees for the conversion and the transfer of this money.
Something's got to be off there.
Something's got to be off. And Chase, like the people doing this at the bank, looked at these fees that were racked up for their standard fees, and they were like, whoa. Like, even we realize this is way too much. So they told my buddy they're going to try and find a way to, like, refund him some of these fees. They couldn't say how much. They have to run it through managers and run it up the ladder and stuff. But think of that. Like, not even common sense could, like, immediately waive $300,000 in transfer fees. Like, why would anyone keep their money in a bank after that kind of treatment? Just insane.
And, like, to have to go and fight to claw back and, you know, ask for... It's such work, and it just doesn't make sense.
Meanwhile, I was in the same predicament, but I don't use a bank. I use a credit union, and they simply couldn't help me. They said, we don't do that conversion. Like, I'm sorry. You need to do something else. So I found this company called TransferWise. Within one click, I signed up for my account, and then I was either able to make a deposit into TransferWise with my debit card, or since I needed a larger amount, I went back to my bank. I made a domestic wire transfer. Yeah, I went back to the credit union, made a domestic wire transfer that posted same day. An hour later, my wire transfer was complete. And then TransferWise converted my USD to euros on the spot for less than 0.5% charge. It was amazing. And the bank the credit union charge for that wire transfer was only $25. And then it cost me 63 cents to send the money in euros across the world, which was then received minutes later. I couldn't believe it. That's less expensive than it would have cost me even to convert my money to Bitcoin.
Don't say
and
that.
Send that. So TransferWise, if you are not already holding cryptocurrency, is absolutely the number one best tool for sending money around the world. To hell with Ripple, to hell with MoneyGram, all that stuff. TransferWise is the thing to be.
Wow.
It's my new favorite thing aside from Bitcoin.
All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. So it's not all about crypto all the time. There's other ways to move money around the world. That's what you're telling me.
As of today, I've learned of TransferWise, and it looks like Bitcoin has forced the hand of traditional finance and other platforms that are using fiat to do a better job to compete with it.
Absolutely.
So TransferWise.com. Good job.
All right. Shout out to TransferWise. And we're going to move on to our smoke and mirrors segment, where we talk about things that, you know, or I should say we question if things are sustainable or if things are scams or if things are really as they appear. And today we're going to do a brief touch on the DeFi lending platforms. You know, we actually just recently interviewed a few people that are involved in this, and Alex Mashinsky is one of them. His episodes will probably be coming out here shortly within the next couple of weeks. Founder of Celsius, exactly. And, you know, we had Patrick Gorrell from First.io or First.com, and that episode will be coming out here probably within the next month. But, you know, we're talking about how lending platforms can afford to give away or, you know, give its depositors 6% or 8% interest on its Bitcoin. And that's an insane amount of money. And we're just starting to think, you know, is the credit lending business in a bubble? Are these high rates of interest actually sustainable? You know, can companies like BlockFi and like Celsius continue to pay out, 6%, 8% on their coins? And I just don't know. But, I love that they are doing such things, because it makes the banks, who are now dipping into, you know, negative interest rates, making them step up, and they're forcing the hand of the banks But I don't know. I don't know, Pete. What do you think? Like, is that sustainable?
There are some potential problems down the road because you need borrowers. But unlike traditional finance, the only people that are borrowing from these platforms such as Crypto.com, Nexo, Compound Finance, BlockFi, Celsius, et cetera, those people already have to have crypto to put up as collateral.
Mm.
So automatically, you reduce your borrowing pool to cryptocurrency holders that are usually going to be borrowing so they can open up a new leverage position. That's it.
So nobody wants leverage right now? Is that what you're saying? Or
I mean, you're restricting yourself to a pool of people that know how to use leverage in crypto is what I'm saying.
I see. So you're saying that just it's such a small addressable market of people that actually understand how to put up their crypto as collateral and take out loans against it.
So it's not your average person looking to buy a car or a home. Those people are out. So the DeFi lending platform has to expand its borrower base. Otherwise, yes, they're all going to be fighting over this small pool of users, and you're going to have what I would think is the gas wars, where they're going to be able to pick and choose through something, you know, like DeFi Prime, and these platforms are going to start to starve as more people start putting their money up for collateral and lending, and their rates are just going to go down and down and down until you're barely better than a bank.
Wow.
And these rates are very adjustable. You know, they post different ones.
Every 24 hours or every 7 days.
Every
Monday, I think.
Something like that. They adjust their rates. So it could be higher. I've seen it as high as, you know, 20% per annum for a month. I think that was like a Huobi or something like that. And, you know, as low as, you know, 3-4% as well. So it really goes all over the place. But it really depends on their ability to get more borrowers in. I don't think there's any shortage of lenders. That's for sure. Because anyone holding might as well just keep their money on that platform and make an extra 6 to 12% a year. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I know at Crypto.com, if you hold your money in CRO tokens and you stake them, and I think you have like a certain amount of MCO as well, you get like 18% annually. Like, that's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah, so Patrick was really the first one who kind of brought this to our attention. Because, I mean, I wasn't really thinking about like how... I just wasn't thinking about it. And so when he was like, you know, I asked him at the end of the episode, I'm like, so what's like, you know, one of your predictions or what's the trend that you see unfolding? And he just straight up looked at me. He's like, dude, crypto lending is in a bubble right now. And I'm like, what the hell? I've never even heard a tweet about that. So I don't know, for better or for worse, we'll see. Hopefully everything works out with all these companies. I think they're providing a great service.
Yeah, I do too. But I think Patrick is so smart, he literally melted my brain.
He
so
did.
There's got to be something to this.
Yeah, there has to be something to it. And the other thing that I think about here is like, you know, a lot of people who are in crypto right now are already borrowing money, you know, whether it's on credit cards or whether they took out a mortgage or like whatever it is, right? A lot of people don't want to keep borrowing. They're already expended essentially. So maybe there's just not that much desire. And also people don't like to put, or to sacrifice their keys, right? So people don't want like loans and to put up their Bitcoin as collateral or whatever, because they don't want to forsake control of their cryptocurrency, because God forbid one of these lending platforms goes down and not only do they not get their loan or whatever, but they lose their collateral that they put up, which is these, you know, cryptographic private keys for which control these cryptocurrencies. So it's just an interesting space. It's just all so new, right? I mean, most of these platforms came out within the last, you know, 2 years when the bear market really hit and people realized that there was a need for advanced lending and borrowing platforms like this. So guys, I don't know. That's just kind of our little thoughts on that. So let's move on to the news. Pete, what is some of the hot headlines?
The headlines we have for you today is PayPal CEO Dan Schulman admits that he owns Bitcoin.
Ooh, that's like a Ford CEO saying, yeah, but I drive a Jaguar.
Well, Jaguar's owned by Ford, but
God damn
it's like saying...
Well, maybe it's
your
like
heart's in the right place.
A Hyundai,
it's like saying he owns a Chevy. Definitely not something you ever expected. Bitcoin has dropped below the 7K mark as China vows to dispose of exchanges that are operating illegally.
Oh, boy.
It's targeted 39 unnamed exchanges, but most of them are considered scams or Ponzi schemes in the first place. You know, nothing major even exists in China anymore. There was a report that came out from The Block saying that police have raided Binance's offices in Shanghai, which was immediately refuted by CZ, who said, "We have no offices in Shanghai. What the hell are you guys talking about?" So, who knows? People are trying to get headlines, but the market definitely reacted pretty negatively to that. And then, speaking of Binance, Binance was just recently in Turkey for Istanbul Blockchain Week or whatever it was. And over there, hey, there's some interesting things going on in Turkey, but Binance decided to acquire the Indian exchange WazerX. So now Indians can buy Bitcoin with the Indian ruble.
Wow. And, you know, we reported recently that India is totally, totally against cryptocurrency. And so was this the biggest Indian exchange? And
absolutely.
I'm just always confused what's going on in India because the same thing with China because they're saying, oh, it's illegal to trade crypto, it's illegal to hold crypto, but then there's like an Indian exchange that just get bought. Like, I don't know how this all works.
Well, I'm not an expert in either region, but this is just my opinion. Both of those countries have the most people in the world. It is very, very hard to police the most people in the world. So you can have whatever laws you want, but enforcing them is a whole other story. You're going to have a lot more serious crimes being committed all day, every day, than running a cryptocurrency exchange.
They each have like 4, 5, 6 times as many people as America. So think about like all the freaking problems with, you know, whether it's like our insurance system or our health code or our tax code and all that stuff, and then literally multiply that by 6. Like, that's nuts.
Right.
Anyhow, Crypt Nation, we love you. Keep being good citizens and good stewards. This is just another reminder to go to www.crypto2020summit.com to sign up for the biggest crypto event of the year, where me and Pizza Mind are going to be talking to well over 60 speakers. It's free. It's virtual. You could watch it from the comfort of your own home. It's a win-win for everybody. So, guys, www.crypto2020summit.com, and we'll see you there. And we will talk to you guys on Monday.
See you then.
We've got a big episode lined up for you guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.